have a warrant for your arrest for the murder of William Little, who was the gas station attendant.
But you're wrong.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special Thanksgiving edition of Truth and Justice. I know that you're not getting this until Sunday after Thanksgiving, but we recorded this episode a couple of days before Turkey Day. Since we had a short week and we haven't heard from Jamie for a while, I decided to take this opportunity to get Jamie on the phone and let you guys hear a full 30-minute interview with myself and Jamie. Throughout the course of our chat, Jamie talks about everything from what he's eating for Thanksgiving to what can be done about his case. And on that note, he did want me to make a short correction. After we got off the phone, he realized he had said that the state's attorney that he's asking us to write to, that you'll hear at the end of the episode, he said the man's name is Bob Knapp, when in fact the man's name is Don Knapp. That's Don, K-N-A-P-P. I hope for all of you who celebrate Thanksgiving had a great week, and we'll be back with a further dissection of the Murder of Bill Little case next week. So we're going to take a quick break here to hear from our sponsor, and we'll get right into my discussion with Jamie Snow.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that he did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Ford Ranger, a vehicle for all terrains and every passion. It's a workmate, a playmate, and to its drivers, a soulmate. So how do you improve the Ford Ranger? You go all in. The all-new Ford Ranger, the UK's best-selling pickup. Now available with rear bumper steps, tailgate workbench, and enlarged load box that can fit a Euro pallet. Go break it in. Search all new Ford Ranger. Ford Pro. Driving productivity. According to SMMT data, features may be optional extras with additional cost.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Jamie. How are you?
Oh, you know I'm hanging in there.
Yeah? Did your call with the college didn't work out?
Yeah, it didn't. I guess it ain't on the list. Not on the list yet, though.
Oh, for the list for you to call?
Yeah, I couldn't get it. It's not on my, it ain't on the phone list yet. They've switched the system back over to the way it was. You know, I can still make a debit call. I can still, you know, I can still call anybody I want to call. I just, it has to be, the number's got to be on the list.
Oh, gotcha.
Or, you know, if you just had a number, you could call somebody, and if they accepted, you were good to go, you know?
Sure.
And now they've gone back to the old way. I have no idea why.
Well, at least I got a chance to chat with you. It's been a little while.
Yeah. It's been a minute, but I know you're busy out there.
Well, what I want to do, Jamie, is let you know is I'm going to start recording right now, and for our Thanksgiving episode for this week, I'm going to basically record our entire conversation and let the listeners hear that. So we got, you know, 30 minutes to chat and for, you know, any questions you have or anything you want to say, and I can get some answers from you maybe and see what we can do for the next 30 minutes.
Sounds good.
All right. So how have you been?
You know, this is the hardest time of the year for me.
The holidays?
Yeah, the holidays are hard. You know, I miss my family the most during this time of the year, so it's hard. But, you know, on the other side of that, it has been made a lot easier, I guess that's even the right word, if it could ever be easier. You know, in the last few years with all of the, you know, the people that have come on board who believe in me and support me, so it's been made a lot easier.
Well, that's good. Have my listeners been sending you some letters?
They have, yep. They sure have, and I've been doing my best to keep up with them. So that's been an awesome thing, you know. I mean, it, it any time that, you know, I can mentally leave this place for even a little while is, you know, a welcome from the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, sounds like you've had some a little bit of good news. Tammy said you finally got your tablet or whatever, your email machine.
I did get it, yeah. I got it, and for the first, I don't know, maybe three, four, 5 days maybe, you know, I seriously wanted to throw it out of the cell and over the gallery.
Well, believe me, you're not alone with technology, because the same thing happens out here.
I mean, I couldn't figure out how to operate it, you know, and I mean, I'm still having, there's still things that I don't fully understand or haven't figured out. But yeah, if they would have came to my cell and said, hey, Snow, your case has been reversed and you're going back to the county for a new trial, that thing would have went over the gallery right then, I promise you.
Well, since then, you've figured out how to send and receive emails from it?
I've figured out how to send and receive the emails, and really that's all I bought it for. So, you know, I'm getting it. But it's crazy, man. And actually, there's a kid that's in the cell next to me who is, and it's kind of a sad thing to me, you know, because he's like 6 months older than my oldest son, and he's been helping me figure it out. You know, he gets it all. He understands every bit of it. You know, and I'm just like, you know, I'm so out of touch with the technology. But this kid, you know, he's, like I said, he's 6 months older than my oldest son, and he's got, you know, a natural life sentence. And, you know, I think about my own kids and the struggles that they've had out there, you know, and, you know, because of my wrongful conviction. And, man, I'm even in their struggles, I feel like, you know, they're still alive and they still have a chance to, you know, to make good on their lives, you know. And I, you know, this, you know, my neighbor makes me feel, and I don't know if that's, you know, if that's right or wrong, but it makes me feel, I don't know, blessed, maybe happy. I'm not even sure if those are the right words, but I guess I'm thankful that, you know, my kids haven't, you know, found themselves in such a situation. I feel sorry for this kid's mom and dad, you know.
Well, I'm sure, especially for, you know, this time of year with, you know, you and everybody, it's got to be tough in there.
It's a terrible thing, man. You know, and look, I mean, this kid makes no bones about it. I mean, he's guilty. He did the crime that he's in here for, and, you know, he accepts his punishment. He's living his life and doing the best that he can, you know. So it's just a sad thing.
Right. So what is, do you guys get to do anything special for Thanksgiving? Now, we're recording this a few days before Thanksgiving, but it'll air a few days after. Do you guys get to do anything special for Thanksgiving?
I mean, Thanksgiving is the best. I mean, that's the best. Thanksgiving and Christmas are the best meals of the year. I mean, they give us a pretty good meal with turkey and dressing and, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy and macaroni and cheese and a big salad and pumpkin pie and, you know, all that stuff.
Well, nice. At least they do that for you.
Well, here's the thing. I haven't ate that meal in, it's been so long since I ate that meal, Bob, I can't even remember the last time I ate it.
Really? Why is that?
I just don't. You know, look, it's my own personal little protest. I figure, you know what, if I can't eat that meal at home with my family where I belong, then I just won't eat it. So I make nachos. That's what I eat. That's my... I'm serious, man. I'll tell you what, I'm making pretty good nachos now. You know, I eat, you know, I make me a nice big tray of nachos with the works, and I get me a cold pop, and that's my Thanksgiving meal, and I watch the games.
Watch some football?
I watch some football. You know, but I will tell you this, I do tell people, my family and my friends and stuff, I tell them, I'm like, look, when you get the food laid out on the table, take a picture of it and send it to me.
Uh-huh.
I still want to see it, you know what I mean? But I just, you know, I mean, it's just my own personal little protest that I've been doing for years now in here, and I'm not gonna, because it just doesn't feel right to me, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm, you know, I feel like I'm giving in, and sort of, I guess, when I go over there and I just don't do it anymore.
Now, how do you, I don't quite understand how it works in there. Like you said, you make nachos. Like, how does that, do you have like a microwave in your cell, or is there?
No. We have, we go to the commissary and I get all, buy all the stuff that I need to make it with. And I just, you know, put it in some hot water and heat everything up like that. I mean, you can heat everything up with the hot water. And you know, it's nachos and cheese and a little summer sausage and some chili, and you know, you can get some vegetables from the kitchen from time to time and top it off with that. It's really good, man. I'm serious. I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah, I bet. You know, and I know some of this is probably, even for some of the people listening, it's a little weird, but for me, I'm always interested in life there, because, you know, whether someone's guilty or innocent, worse in your case being innocent, once you're in there, you have to make a life somehow. You got to get through it. And so I always find it fascinating, like, you know, how you guys get through life, how you make friends, what you do for Thanksgiving, you know, how you, you know, cook nachos, you know, how any of that stuff even works.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know, man. I really see guys around me doing like what you just described, you know, making a life for themselves, you know, even in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do that very well. You know, I don't have a lot of people that I hang out with. I mean, I have a very, very small circle of guys that I associate with. I spend a lot of time, you know, reading. I spend a lot of time writing. I spend a lot of time listening to the radio. I don't really watch a lot of TV, you know, and I spend a lot of my time thinking about how in the hell am I going to get out of here?
Right.
You know, and that is the life that I've built for myself in here. And I mean, that is my daily, every single day, you know, I get up and I think, okay, what can I do today to try to get myself closer to the door? Who can I write? What can I read? You know, and I guess that's how I make my life in here. I never compromise on that. You know, I never give in and just say, okay, well, you know, I'm just going to try. You know, I had a friend of mine who gave me a book one time. And I think it was by the Tony Robbins, I think it was, you know, and it was like, you know, live your best life now.
Right.
And listen, Bob, I you know, I only could get through less than probably a half of a chapter, man. There's no way that I can live my best life now. It's just an impossibility. So, you know, one of your listeners sent me some books that she wrote. You know, and they were small books, you know, and man, they were awesome.
Was that Kathy McElhinney?
Yeah, she can write.
Yeah, she
know?
Can. Yep.
And I mean, yeah. And you know, I love to read stuff like that before I can read, you know, Tony Robbins telling me how I can live my best life. When I'm serving life for something I didn't do, I just can't do it, man.
Right.
So,
yeah, those books by Kathy are interesting. So they, I don't know if she told you this, but the the characters in a couple of them are based around me and Mike and another guy, Ryan. We used to do another podcast.
Yeah, she had just recently told me about an idea for a book that she's writing, you know, about a time traveler. And, man, I'm telling you, I don't know if she's ever told you about that book, but I'm telling you, I could see that book. I could see that idea, you know, I could see that as a TV show or a movie, man. I mean, it was, the idea was just awesome, you know?
Yeah,
I wish I'd have thought of it.
Yeah, she's talented. Have you ever thought of, you know, as much reading and stuff you do and kind of time you keep to yourself, have you ever done any writing or thought about doing any writing?
I have. And, you know, the same lady that sent me the Tony Robbins book, very good. She's a really, really good friend of mine. Her name's Sam. And she's an amazing writer. You know, she can write, man, you know, and she's always telling me, you know, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. And I'm always like, you know, you need to help me do it. You need to help me do it. I can't do it by myself. But yeah, I thought about it, man. And I wish I was as talented as people like Kathy and had the ability to see things in my mind before I write it down, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty good about writing when it comes to my case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're probably more talented than you think. Just from all the letters you've sent to me, I mean, I think you're a pretty good writer.
Well, you know, when I'm writing about something that affects my life in such a profound way, I think I can do it. You know what I mean? I just don't know if I was writing about something other than my case, I don't know if I would be as compelling. You know?
Well, I'm sure it just completely occupies your mind. You know, it's interesting with all, I think I've told you before, you remind me of, matter of fact, I was just getting a call from him while I was talking to you, but you remind me of Ed Eights, our season 2 case. You know, everybody that I've worked with has been wrongfully convicted and in prison for something they didn't do, but everybody kind of handles it differently. But your outlook reminds me so much of him, where he just never, ever accepted where he was at. You know, you could get along with him. He seemed to be generally a happy guy as best he could be, but he was the same guy that would say, you know, fuck your Thanksgiving dinner. I don't want it.
And that is basically what it is, man. I'm just like, you know, I don't pass judgment on anybody else that's going out there and doing it, you know, because there are some other guys in here who I believe are innocent, and you know, they go out there and get that meal. You know what I'm saying? And that's good. You know, I have no. It's just me personally. I don't have very many ways of protesting, you know, what's going on in my life. You know what I mean? And that's just one way that I'm able to do that. And plus, I mean, let me tell you something, man. These nachos I make are pretty good. If and when I ever make it out of here, Bob, I'm going to make you some, I promise.
I'll come get them. You got me craving nachos now.
So.
But, you know, when you said, you know, your daily life is figuring out how to get you out of there. You know, I'm in a place right now, and I want to talk to you before we get done about some of the stuff we've uncovered since we spoke last, or, you know, we've reported since then. But, man, I'm hitting a point right now and going through your case where, I mean, I've told you already before, I'm 100% convinced you're innocent. Week after week, we're tearing apart the state's case. And now I'm searching and searching, trying to figure out what can we do that's actionable. Like this is great. I can tell the story about you being innocent all day, you know, for years. But at some point, we got to do something to get you out of there. What do you feel like is a strategy? What is a plan? Like how do you see? Because you're living this. How do you see us doing something to actually get the ball moving to get you out of there?
Oh, man, you know, that's a hard question to answer. I think the best answer I can give is, you know, just raising the awareness of the people where I'm from, you know, and getting people, you know, somehow involved to communicate with the state's attorneys and the judges down there where I'm from. I mean, you know, we're getting ready to start moving other aspects of my case, the forensic part of my case forward. We've got some things like that getting ready to start moving, you know, and I really think that the spotlight kind of, I guess, that you're putting on this may help to move some of that stuff along.
Thank you. Is there a plan in the near future to file another? Because you were already denied your direct appeals and in a round of habeas. And I know that some of the evidence, for example, in this week's episode, we just covered Bruce Rowland, the letters that were suppressed by the state going back and forth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all that stuff's, yeah, we're going to refile on all that stuff, you know. We've got some new affidavits. I don't know if you've read the affidavit I sent you yet. Did you read it?
Which one is that?
From the guy that's in Florida.
Oh, I don't think I've read the affidavit but I've heard the story from Tammy and Ray.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. So, yeah, I mean there's a plan to, you know, move all that stuff forward. I mean, I guess I've had a forensic motion in for quite a while now, and the courts have bounced it around, and we found, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of documents that they never turned over that was in the forensic file from the Illinois State Police that the state didn't want my lawyers to have, but the judge said, you know, well, you got to let them have it. So what they did was is they told my lawyer, Tara Thompson, that, you know what, you can come down here from Chicago to Bloomington, which is, you know, a couple-hour drive. You can drive down here and review the file. I mean, it's like 10,000 pages, and you can review the file
right in
the state's attorney's office. You can't make any copies, but you can take notes. And Jesus Christ, man, I mean, it took her almost a year, and I don't blame it on her, you know what I mean? I mean, she's busy. She's working for, you know, one of the biggest exoneration projects in probably the Midwest. And, you know, it took her almost a year to review that file. I mean, she's an officer of the court, you know what I mean? And they could have just given her the file.
Right.
But that's the kind of stuff. Those are the hoops that the state has been, you know, forcing us to jump through for, you know, 20 years. So
that's crazy. And the forensic stuff, right, the motions you have filed are, is that requesting to do more forensic testing?
Yeah, I want to. There were 22 fingerprints that were recovered from the crime scene. I want to, you know, they said only one was good enough to put into the APHIS database,
mm-hmm.
which is the nationwide fingerprint database. I want to, you know, you can now get a DNA profile from a fingerprint lift.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, okay, I want to, you only had one that was good enough for an APHIS search, but what about trying to get a DNA profile off of the lifts? I mean, the state's argument is always, well, it won't exonerate him. It doesn't have to in the state of Illinois. The statute says all it has to do is advance your claim of actual innocence.
Right.
What if we do that testing and we get a hit to somebody that has a history of committing armed robberies and shooting people? Does it exonerate me? No, but does it advance my claims of actual innocence? I kind of think it does. Puts them in the gas station that night.
Well, and for us trying to find conduct an active investigation, it at least gives us, you know, somewhere to look. You know, you get a list of names that were people that, you know, at least at some point were in the gas station. You could start looking
into
these people.
And right along the lines of what you're saying, what if it, we get a match to somebody that was an earlier suspect?
Right.
For one reason or another, that we can actually, for some reason, they were a suspect and we can put them in the gas station. You know, and here's the thing that I tell everybody, you know, we want to test the fingerprints. We want to test his clothes with that MVAC thing that you were talking about. You know, want to do that. We've fought and tried to get him to put the bullets that were recovered from Bill Little into the Integrated Ballistics Identification System, which is a nationwide ballistics identification system. You know, wouldn't you want to know if they never recovered the gun, right? But wouldn't you want to know that we know of, you know, that we know of right now? But wouldn't you want to know if that gun was used in any other crimes? I mean, that's what they do now. They take ballistics from a crime scene and they put it into the Integrated Ballistics Identification System, and they can tell whether or not a weapon has been used in other crimes.
Right, that's never been
done.
Would
you want to know that?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, they fought us to do that. I mean, they're like, well, the gun was never recovered. So what? Wouldn't you want to know where it's at? Wouldn't you want to know? I mean, I was arrested in my sister's house 3 weeks after the murder, right?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't you want to know if that gun was used in any crimes in St. Louis while I might have been at my sister's house? Wouldn't that be helpful to your case?
Right, yeah, if they think that you're the one that did it. And if not, then, it's even though it may not tell them exactly who it was, it's a breadcrumb.
It sure is, and I mean, you know, what if the gun was used in a crime before Bill Little was murdered that I couldn't have had anything to do with? And what if it was used again after Bill was murdered? And let's, for instance, I was in jail. You know, does that exonerate me? Probably not. But does it advance my claims of actual innocence? I say it does.
Yeah, I think it absolutely would. You know, when we're talking about the fingerprints and DNA on the crime scene, I guess I never asked you this. Have you ever been in that station?
No, I've never been in the station. So, you know, I would never be worried about any of it, you know, linking me to the station. So
you've never stepped foot inside that gas station ever?
No, I've never been inside that station. So, you know, and anybody who says I have is just full of it.
Right.
I mean, you looked it up. Where it was compared to where I lived was...
Yeah, it's 6 miles at least.
Yeah, it was in a part of... It was just in an area of the city that, you know, I didn't know anybody in. But, you know, and I tell people this, Bob, and I want to say this to you and your listeners. You know, it is a win-win situation for the state attorney to do all the testing in the case. It's a win-win because it's going to do one of three things. It's either going to implicate me and put me at the scene of the crime, which at that point I would lose all my representation by the Exoneration Project. I'd be done. It'd mm-hmm. be over with.
Right.
And then the state gets to say, see, you know, we told you he did it. He was there.
Right.
That's a win. You know, it's going to do nothing at all. It's not going to make one bit of difference. And they get to say, see, we knew it wasn't going to do any good. We don't want to waste any time on it. Or it's going to lead us to the person that murdered William Little. And in that, and even in that, they get to say, well, the system worked. It took a while, but it worked. You know, and
right.
and they got the right person in jail. You know, it's a win-win for them. So to me, the only reason they don't want to do it is because they're afraid of what it might produce. That's what I think. I really honestly believe that they don't care about what it could produce. They're afraid of what it might produce, you know. So, and we're paying for it, you know. I mean, it's the Exoneration Project's going to flip the bill. So what is the problem with doing it? I don't get it, you know.
Well, if there's a person, before we, you know, we run out of time here, for my listeners, as far as something actionable, the state's attorney's office is fighting to stop you from doing all this testing, right? Who is that state's attorney? Who would be the right person for myself and my listeners to reach out to write letters to try to influence them to allow you to do this testing?
His name, the state's attorney in McLean County, Bloomington, Illinois. The address is 104 West Front Street, Bloomington, Illinois. The McLean County State's Attorney is Bob Knapp, K-N-A-P-P.
Bob Knapp, K-N-A-P-P, the McLean County
yep.
State's Attorney. Well, I think that's a next step, I think, for us to do is to at least let him know. And I'm going to reach out to him and request an interview at this point.
I wish you would. I would be shocked if he would talk to you, but I would love to... I'd love to see if he would. I wish you'd reach out to the prosecutors who prosecuted me and see whether or not they have the integrity to try to explain what it is they did. So, you know.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, I send Bob Knapp a Christmas card every year. This McLean County State's Attorney gets a Christmas card from me every year, so let's all send him one.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So let's do that. Listeners, let's all reach out to them. I'm going to personally reach out to Bob Knapp and request an interview and see if we can discuss what his reasons are for not wanting you to do this testing. And
okay.
We just got a few seconds left, Jamie, so I do want to tell you that, you know, even though you're going to be eating your nachos, I want you to know myself and my listeners will be thinking about you on Thanksgiving.
Well, I appreciate you, Bob. I appreciate everything you're doing. I appreciate everything they're doing, and I really hope that, you know, everybody has a safe and and a happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Jamie. Thank you so much. And we'll be talking again soon. I got my phone situation fixed, so now okay. I'll be able to hear you when you call.
Thank you for using.
All right, Securus. Bye.
Take Goodbye. Care, buddy. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Wondery. Produced and edited by Mike Bussing and sound engineering by Shane Yoder. All music for the show was created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com, who also mixed and mastered this episode. Our Season 7 logo was created by me with assistance from Zach Weaver and Shane Yoder. All of our font across all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. You can find more of Tate's work on Etsy. I'd like to thank Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website, Truth and Justice Pod, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. And a big thank you to our transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Charlena White, Kaywood Yomnick, Ginger Fiola, Edith Swanneck, and Jen Reese in Candela. And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. If you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can do so in a number of ways. To financially support the show, you can go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. On the Patreon page, you can pledge as little as $3 a month, and we also have reward levels on Patreon that include access to behind-the-scenes videos of the tapings of our Friday follow-up episodes, ad-free versions of all of our episodes, Truth and Justice Army t-shirts and hats, and even the opportunity to co-host one of our Friday follow-up episodes. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And lastly, you can always support us by supporting the companies that sponsor this program. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider for future seasons, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email, theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. For all of you tweeters, you can connect with us on Twitter at Truth Justice Pod. I personally can be found on social media at Bob Ruff Truth, and Mike can be found at Murb Gaming, MURRBGAMING. And don't forget that we always have our 24/7 voicemail line open for questions, comments, or tips on our cases. That phone number is 269-224-2833. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.